Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Don't treat me like a woman. Don't treat me like a man. Don't treat me like you know me. Just treat me for who I am.
You got me with that first line. Don't treat me like a woman. I don't know why I laughed as hard as I did at that, but I'm over here. That was pretty good.
Those are the lyrics to China's entrance music.
Thank you. Yeah, that's all right. Let's get into it.
I'm Tom. This is Jeff. You're listening to The Payoff. As you can tell, we do not rehearse this stuff in advance.
No, definitely not.
So I was looking up her music on Spotify. Okay. And then I'm like, what are the lyrics? And so I Googled it, and then I thought I'd just read them out loud.
Hey.
Here's the funny part about it, is it just keeps repeating those four lines all over and over again.
So sometimes, yep.
So I'm sure there's like other WWF lyrics and WWE lyrics, courtesy of Jim Johnson, where there's like five sentences or five phrases that are repeated over and over and over again.
Yep.
And that's one of them.
Hey, whatever it takes, that's all right.
So. But at the end, she does clarify, there's so much more. I'm so much more. I'm so much more than that.
Yes.
So there you go.
You are, buddy. Absolutely.
Our first China match.
Hey, I'm ready to get into it. You know,
isn't this the song you used to come out to when you were doing backyard wrestling?
This was, sometimes I mixed it up. It depended on the season, but yeah, this was definitely one of my first choices if I could get it. Yeah, absolutely. So big fan. Yeah, this is one where
you picked it. Why'd you want to cover it?
So yeah, this was a kind of an anniversary one for us because we're in the week of when this match occurred back in 1999. So there's some decent kind of build around this one and then aftermath as well too. But I think this is one where not just the anniversary, but we hadn't talked about a China match. And, you know, this is one where I think there was so much surrounding this one. It makes sense as kind of the jumping point to talk about this. But then also, like, you know, not to spoil how it ends here, but, you know, consequential for kind of what she did and what she accomplished and things like that. And kind of, you know, I think it was important after we just talked, you know, recently about Trish and Lita and, you know, that match and the retirement. I think just kind of focusing on some of these original OG kind of, you know, superstars, it's important stuff. So a lot of different reasons to cover this one, though.
Yeah, there's just a lot of shit happening. So it's a really interesting one for us to cover for sure. Any other housekeeping notes that you want to cover before we get into this one?
At Payoff Pod, man. Social media, okay. Everybody knows where to find us. You know,
wasn't a trick question. I just wanted to know if you had anything else to say.
No, just wanted to drop that one on everybody, you know, of course, just like that. But I think I got a lot of notes. I got a lot to cover. So if you're ready, I'm ready.
All right, let's get into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
So one of my favorite arenas, Jeff, the Gund Arena, now known as Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland, Ohio. I saw my first – so I grew up in Pittsburgh. This was 2 hours away, downtown Cleveland. I saw my first NBA game ever there. It was a overtime thriller between the Nets and the Cavs. That was kind of cool. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Awesome.
And then I went back there a number of times. Yeah, I went to college in Ohio, so I'd get up there, go to some games. A friend of mine had season tickets in the Lexus Club, which was all you can eat and all you can drink. So I'd get there, as early as I could, and I'd leave as late as I could. There was one time me and a buddy of mine were the last two people in the arena, and we just accumulated beers while they were still serving them, so they were below our seats, and we were bound to determine to finish them. And so we're the last thing. The security guard came up to us and said, "You two are the last two here." There was actually like a high school team scrimmaging on the court at that point. So good memories of the Gund Arena. I may have only saw one wrestling show ever there. Ironically, it was the one where Shawn Michaels made a surprise appearance joining the NWO. Certainly wasn't expecting that. So it was like a big surprise. There was a Survivor Series there one time, but I don't think I made it, but I was in town for. So good memories, the Gund Arena, fun arena, great place to watch. They've dumped a ton of money into that place. It's a really cool arena. So No Mercy 1999. We kick off with the Godfather defeating Midian, 7-minute singles match. Sure, that was a good one. How about this, Jeff? Women's championship match, 2 minutes and 50 seconds. The Fabulous Moolah defeated Ivory to win the title. Okay. 1999. Sure. Yeah, sure. The Hollies, Crash and Hardcore, defeated the New Age Outlaws by DQ in a 10-minute match. Then the match we're here for, Chyna and Jeff Jarrett for the Intercontinental Championship in a good housekeeping match. Don't have many of those in WWE history. Then The Rock defeating the British Bulldog in a singles match, 7 minutes. Okay. I think Bruce and Conrad just covered The Rock's 1999 recently, if I'm not mistaken. I listened to the episode. I think it was 1999. The New Brood, which was the Hardy Boys, defeated Edge and Christian. That was the ladder match for Terry Runnels' services and $100,000. So that actually is the classic ladder match that the four of them did that really kind of solidified them as like, holy shit, these guys are the real deal. That was a classic match. That's one we probably need to cover at some point. But instead, you have us covering a good housekeeping match instead.
Hey, you gotta go. You gotta start somewhere, man.
Then we get Val Venus defeating Mankind singles match.
That feels odd having
him. A lot of these matches, this feels like an odd show. You'd have a pay-per-view every month. X-Pac defeating Bradshaw, Farouk, and Kane in a four-quarters elimination match. That's odd. And then the reason people are here, the main event, Triple H, who's your champion, defeating Stone Cold Steve Austin in a anything goes match. And not long after that would have been when Stone Cold had his neck injury and was out, because that all happened prior to Survivor Series, which would have taken place not long after this. So interesting card, a lot of interesting stuff going on. You obviously have a lot of stuff from a storyline standpoint. So how the hell did we get to a good housekeeping match and China wrestling with the boys?
I will say, like, you're right. Like, this card just...
I mean, that is a random card.
There's some weird ones. And before this, it was Rebellion was the pay-per-view before
that. That was the UK one.
That was the UK one. Right, exactly. And so maybe they were just trying to wind down some storylines. Who knows? But, and you're right, Survivor Series was after this one. But before we get that, so got to talk about participants of this one, kind of how we got here. Yes, I selected this good housekeeping match between Chyna and Jeff Jarrett because why not? So, So No Mercy, of course, were 1999, but Chyna actually making her debut, it was February 1997. It was In Your House Final Four. She was actually a plant at ringside, choking Marlena, actually, while Goldust was in a fight, or in the ring, excuse me, with Triple H. So she really was just the enforcer / bodyguard for D-Generation X. That was kind of, you know, who she was, kind of what she did. And then, you know, well known. And I still, you know, to this day, remember, like, you know, she was known as when she would get involved in a match, it was the low blow. And so, you know, always coming up from behind and kind of, you know, taking people out and things like that, that way. And that I vividly remember some of those times where she was doing that. And so, you know, and of course the name China, it was really, you know, ironic why, you know, because you think of like, it's like the fine China and like, you know, being delicate and things like that versus her and what she looked like and kind of who she was. That's just, there wasn't anybody like her, like plain and simple, like in look and kind of what she did, like nothing like her whatsoever. So, one of the big, you know, like I said, debuting in 1997, but 1999, really, like when I started pulling some of these notes, I was like, damn, like it was a big year for her. Like 1999 was, you know, where it was at. And so starting out that January of that year, being like the first woman to enter the Royal Rumble match, she was number 13. And then after that, kind of aligning herself with Vince and Kane, you know, kind of betraying Triple H at that point too. And so, you know, right, I start in 1999 with being in the Royal Rumble and then really, you know, being with Vince, like being, you know, and this was when we were seeing Vince every week, no matter what we wanted. And so her being at his side with Kane on this one, this was really a big deal. And so, you know, she ended up teaming with Kane. It was actually St. Valentine's Day Massacre pay-per-view. You know, she went against actually X-Pac and Triple H, the two of them beating them. But then it was actually that WrestleMania 15, March 1999. You had China. She turned on Kane at that one. And it, like, so kind of weird how this played out, but kind of fun as well too. Attacking Kane with a chair and that kind of appearing to rejoin DX. But then actually later that evening, you know, Triple H, I say a double turn, you know, however you want to play it, but Triple H and China turning and helping Shane McMahon defeat X-Pac. And this is, of course, when they were part of the corporation and eventually becoming the corporate minister or, yeah, ministry. So we haven't talked about that ever, which we need to get that on our list too. And so, you know, kind of fun. So she was in these big storylines with, you know, being with Vince, being Shane and part of the corporation and then the corporate ministry. And so June of that year, 1999, again, just carrying this huge year for her, being the first woman to qualify for the King of the Ring tournament. Now, you know, Triple H originally, he was supposed to compete in the King of the Ring, but he wanted to go after the WWE title instead. And so he gave his spot to China. She actually beat, I kind of pulled the list from this one. You had Billy Gunn, Viscera, Ken Shamrock, Jeff Jarrett, Draws, Big Show, Test, Kane, Road Dogg, Godfather, China, Val Venus, Al Snow, Hardcore Holly, Big Boss Man, and Xbox. So big brackets on this one. You had China beating Val Venus, but then losing to the Road Dogg. Eventually, Billy Gunn went on to kind of win that one. And so she was actually, for a while there, also the number one contender for the WWF Championship, but she ended up losing that spot to Mankind. And so then she kind of started, it was really that, like, you know, I say late summer where she started feuding with Jeff Jarrett. You had Jarrett was actually feuding with Al Snow for a while, who had, and then over, he was reunited with Deborah, who she was at the time in WCW, came over to WWF, and Jarrett and formed a tag team with Owen Hart. And so they actually won the tag team championship. It was from Ken Shamrock and the Big Boss Man, defended their titles at that WrestleMania 15, and eventually ended up losing to Kane and X-Pac. So, you know, kind of the hard part to this too is like throughout all of this too in 1999, this was also the same year, of course, too, where Owen Hart died. And so Jarrett actually went out and took on the Godfather, which if you've watched that Dark Side of the Ring, like knowing like how Jarrett wasn't on it, but like Godfather and just some of the stories and the shit he's seen, like he's seen a lot of shit over the years. But the two of them kind of had a match and Jarrett actually winning the Intercontinental Championship at that event. And it was actually, you know, after the event, excuse me, Over the Heart, not, yeah, I'm saying it right. And so beating the Godfather, who Owen was supposed to take on at the pay-per-view, but Jarrett ended up winning. So that's how he got the Intercontinental belt at that time. There it is. Yeah, I'm a
nice man. That's got to be another one, right? With like three lines. Yes. Isn't that one like, I like to squeeze them, I like to kiss them, or something like that?
Yes, absolutely. So,
I looked up Billy Gunn on Spotify, and our podcast shows up in his theme music.
Hey, I'm all right with that. So,
that's awesome.
So, you had really Jarrett. He kind of he had the Intercontinental Championship. He was exchanged it with Edge, D'Lo Brown. Kind of, you know, just really
too bad. Much flip flopping, man.
Yeah, there was a lot of flip flopping at this time. A lot of different things happening, and so interesting though during this time. And it just takes me to a trivia question for you, Tom.
Oh, I love trivia.
So, Jeff Jarrett, there was kind of the back and forth with this one. You had the start of Jarrett really kind of abusing Deborah and kind of being shitty to women, which is kind of how we got a little bit of the storyline with this, which wouldn't necessarily be able to pull it off now, but it was actually SummerSlam. Jarrett challenged D'Lo Brown. It was for both the WWF European title and the Intercontinental title. And so each kind of had a belt at this time. Now, in the history of WWE, there have been 3 Eurocontinental champions that held both belts. Do you know who they were?
3 Eurocontinental. So one was definitely Kurt Angle.
Yes.
Okay. Eurocontinental. And then I'm just going to take 2 guesses because I have no idea. I'll say one is Chris Jericho and one is Edge.
I've said them already. It was D'Lo Brown, Jeff Jarrett, and Kurt Angle.
Okay.
And of course, now we can't really get that because we don't have the European title anymore. It's been kind of worked into the...
Actually, wasn't a bad idea if they did it the right way. I mean, you know, some of these titles are actually, like, in theory, not bad ideas. Like, if you had a UK title or a European title and they only defended it over there... But I don't know how they would do it. But again, that just becomes like another throwaway title. Like, it meant nothing. It's just, you know, like, it makes no sense.
Yeah, how it played out. Yeah, absolutely. So
just like if you kept the Intercontinental title as a stepping stone for the world title and you created like a true division out of it, and then you make Shawn Michaels a star and you make Bret Hart a star and you make Randy Savage a star and the Ultimate Warrior and everyone else, it's the same thing where if a title has a purpose, but now it's just there's all these stupid ass titles floating around. They're all props. They mean nothing. 1 minute AJ Styles is world champion, then he's IC champ. But why would he be IC champ? Like it just doesn't make sense that there is no hierarchy. And maybe that's just out of necessity because you're doing a ton of live TV every week. But there are no divisions.
I appreciate you trying to build superstars, you know, something unlike we see nowadays, but I agree. Absolutely. And that's how you do it. And it's just see that like we used to. So a lot of details, but then how do we get to this match though? And kind of what happened here. So after Jarrett won the Intercontinental Championship at SummerSlam, he really did just an open, you know, open contract to any wrestler that wanted to have a match for him. It was actually at Unforgiven, which is September of 1999. China actually signed the contract for that match, but Billy Gunn actually, you know, offered China to hand him over the contract for the number one contender for the International Championship. So China actually beat Billy Gunn to retain her status as the number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship. This is along the lines too, where the kind of storyline started kind of getting like Jarrett taking a more like really just sexist approach toward women. I had forgotten putting Cindy Margolis in, you know, the figure four leg lock, you know, going after the Fabulous Moolah, going after Mae Young, hitting them with guitars. I kind of went back and found some of the photos and the videos from that. I had forgotten about some of that stuff. So what happened though during that match is while it occurred, it was kind of a screwy finish and the decision was reversed. So China didn't win. This would have been at that Unforgiven pay-per-view. So, you know, because of that though, Jarrett again, just kind of kept going after women, kind of kept, you know, just degrading things like that, which is how, of course, we got to this Good Housekeeping match at No Mercy, because It's the ring. It's really a hardcore match where the ring is surrounded by household objects. And so, again, playing up just the sexist angle of it and just like, you know, I say sex, you know, going against women and things like that, which was part of the storyline at the time, and that was fine. That was okay. So the interesting kind of part of this, too, is that, and we'll get into this a little bit more in the aftermath, was that this event, like I said, it took place, it was October 17th, 1999. Jeff Jarrett's contract expired on October 16th, 99. And so this was kind of, he came back, I say, quote unquote, he had this last show to work with China and, you know, for the Intercontinental title match. Now, a lot of pieces at this, and, you know, kind of there were some write-ups in regards to, like, you know, who was to blame, like saying JR and he was leaving and, you know, he was going to WCW and, or, you know, didn't know that, but that was kind of, you know, what it was looking like. And so, you know, kind of interesting, and how he had sold himself to WWE wasn't necessarily what they got when he got there, and that, like, characters weren't working. And, you know, is the word I saw, the phrase I saw that made sense, he was a ratings liability, like he was just all over the board when he was on TV. And so he really, we'll get into it more after, but like his contract status at this point, where it was, again, at this point wasn't a well-kept secret that people kind of knew what was happening, but it was definitely playing into this and kind of what was happening. And so that brings us to, again, like just kind of the Jeff Jarrett, you know, being an asshole to women and China standing up against that and getting a second shot for the Intercontinental title. That is how we get to this match.
And this was in Jarrett, man, it just seemed like a couple times in his WWF career, he just did not see eye to eye with Vince, and he was pissed off about money. And there was all this backstage stuff. I mean, he walked out on them the night that he did the big sing in the you know, pay-per-view with My Baby Tonight, him and Road Dogg walked out on the company. And it's just odd because, you know, he's a son of a promoter. I believe his grandmother was in the wrestling business. So, you know, there's a long history, and it's like, don't you know that you shouldn't be walking out on the company and, you know, holding them up for money and all this stuff. So definitely unprofessional at some different stages. I mean, Jeff Jarrett's just had a very, very interesting career, to say the least. So,
yeah, we'll cover him again. TNA time, like all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been around. Like, you know, Hall of Famer, which he deserves, but interesting stuff there. So if you're ready for the match, my friend, I am ready.
Jeff, I am absolutely ready for the match. So here's the deal. We're at the 47-minute mark of No Mercy 1999. So 47 minutes on the dot, No Mercy 1999. Let's get into the payoff.
Ho! It's time for the payoff.
All right. Here we are. China, hot start. Got her thong on.
That is some ring attire. Yikes. So outside of the ring, we've got ironing boards. We've got a mop and bucket. We've got, I can't even tell. It looks like a pot and pan. Like, just all kinds of stuff, you know, I household quote items on the outside. There's a pie, there's a microwave, a banana, which may or may not come into play eventually here, trash can. So I'll ask you the kind of obvious question that we hear all the time. Does she deserve to be in the Hall of Fame on her own?
Yes.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just no, to me, it's no question. I mean, you talk about a trailblazer. You know, I think because of, you know, the way she lived her life towards the end of her life and the way that she died and the, you know, Triple H Stephanie dynamic, you don't hear about her. I mean, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just not a lot. I mean, obviously they put DX in, and I think they'll put her in by herself at some point. And I mean, it seems like, you know, I think they've done right by her given everything, because they could have scrubbed her from company history. You know, they invited her sister for the Hall of Fame. They acknowledged her. I mean, you know, I know people probably disagree with Triple H and Steph and a lot of things, but to me, they did more than they certainly had to. And I think they were pretty classy overall with it.
Yeah, and I think you make the good point of like her, I say, you know, closer to the end of her life and like some of the things she was doing, like, you know, called spade a spade, like doing the porn and kind of, you know, the stories of the drugs you see on TMZ and things like that.
Well, yeah, that's why, like, I mean, sometimes I think fans, like, I think it's toilet bowl. But here's the thing is I think like sometimes people, you know, they get upset that there's not more mention of China and they think it's like something between Steph and Triple H. It's like, no, this is a woman that did porn with another WWE superstar, right, and died of an OD and had major, major issues. So, you know, I think it's more of that than it is the fact that she dated Triple H.
And so China stuffing the banana into Jarrett's and out, like covering him in whipped cream. Like, again, not a wrestling clinic, but there's been some good moves at this point. Ooh, that was rough. Yeah, right into the ring post.
What do you think of China's ring outfit? Because to me, it's like, I don't hate her wrestling with the men as much as I probably thought I would. I mean, in general, I don't love it, but it's like she was enough of an athlete that I think you could get by with it. But it's like, if you're going to do that, then don't present her with a tiny little thong on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like give her, you know, I'm not saying make her look like a man, but it's like, you know, dress her up like she's, you know, a professional wrestler, not like she looks like a, you know,
she's a superstar, not, right. Not a stripper. Right.
That's what she looks like. So
now, and she's cleared off one of the tables now at ringside, like, and throwing Jarrett on it. Yeah. I think that's one of those where the crowd losing their mind though over this. Oh, missing. Going for like an elbow, leg drop, missing it.
Teddy Long is your ref.
Yep.
Falls count anywhere, clearly.
That's not Teddy Long.
Sure?
Yeah, I'm positive. And this is one, again, like, we talked about it during the Trish and Lita match where, you know, their styles and them kind of taking on each other. This is another one too, where like respect who came before you type thing. You know, you do hear her name dropped a lot and like, you know, who did break the barriers? Like who did, you know, do a lot of the thing. Is that a fish? It is a fish. Yes.
Yeah. I guess because it's a kitchen.
Yep, yeah, it's a household item. I get it. So
I don't think I've ever seen this. I just assumed that ref was Teddy Long. I don't think I've ever seen this guy before.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Yeah. And so back in the ring now. Yeah, and so, and you know, you got to – she was, I really think, like, you know, the third side of the pyramid on this one, or the triangle, excuse me, where, you know, who really broke the barriers? Like, who really kind of, you know, did some of these things for the other women?
All right, well, let me ask you this. Who broke more barriers, Trish and Lita or China?
If I had to pick one of those, I would say Trish. Whoa.
I know. That was a great bump.
That was a Michaels bump. Wow. Learning from the best. Flipping over the top rope. Yep. I have to give it to Trish. I think just kind of they're making something in a pot now, just because I just associate a lot more of that with her. I think, not to discredit what China did by any means, though, I think that it just, ooh, a handful of flour, they're getting popped up in the air now, though, by China. I don't want to discredit China, but I think that Trish, for me, and again, it's just a personal thing, I think she's done more.
Okay.
How about you?
I don't know. I you know, probably right. Yeah. I mean, that's probably right. But I mean, both in their own way, definitely trailblazed. Jeff Jarrett going for the figure four.
Yeah. And I think that's a big part of it is like, you can't, I say, I don't want to discredit any of them because they, in their own way. Yeah, they were. And I like, but it's funny because I say Trish, but I liked Lita more than anybody else. So, you know, it's just kind of, you know, how her moves and kind of, you know, what she did, you know, the high flying stuff. Like I was just more into that. And so, you know, so interesting when I say that. Yeah. Jerry got the figure four locked in. Everybody's on their feet too, which I
think is into the match. This is a really hot crowd for this man.
Yeah, and this was, hey, it's that Ohio crowd, man. Like,
you remember who the cat was married to, right?
It was a JR for a while, wasn't it?
Jerry Lawler.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, not JR. Yeah, Jerry Lawler. Yeah, and so this is one again. Yep. And there is the is that a super low blow? Jarrett diving off the top. Oh boy, look out! Oh, and the fans losing their shit now because China has grabbed using the tongs, Jarrett with grapefruits. Yeah.
You know, this is really good for a comedy match. I just wish it wasn't for the Intercontinental Championship.
And even as like
if I had a nitpick, yeah.
When was the last time you saw that many objects in a hardcore match?
I mean, there's just something. Yeah, like they have a ton of objects. They're using them all.
And there's this is a spot fest. You've got now Jarrett. Is that pies that were like? It looked like they were loaded with flour, for the effect. Smoking Jarrett in the face. And now the sink that Jarrett, there's a double sink that Jarrett had actually walked to the ring with, and China hitting him over the head with it. Oh, but getting the shoulder up.
What's China's finishing move? Do you know?
And well, the low blow, I guess. Like, I don't know. That's a good question. We're about to find out. Yeah.
That cake?
This is now a cake. Yep.
Is this going to be a pedigree?
This is looking like a pedigree. Yeah. Oh, blocking, but oh.
Slingshot. Ref bump.
Oh, out of place.
It is Teddy Long. He just said it on commentary.
Okay. It doesn't look like him. Okay.
There you go. So now
Deborah's sliding in the Intercontinental belt. Look at that sleek little belt, though. That's what she.
That's it.
That's it. Getting the three count. There it is. But very little reaction from the crowd.
Wow.
But again, you know, interesting how it finished because we've got contract ending, but you're with the belt.
Uh-oh. Wait. But
hang on. Oh, you're right. It definitely is.
He looks heavier and younger.
Yep. And so the ref arguing with Jarrett now.
Wow. Is he going to make it a tag team match? Remember when he used to do that as commissioner or GM?
Holla, holla.
Howard Finkel.
For me, that Jeff Jarrett cannot use the Intercontinental Championship to win a match.
The IC title is not a household item.
Oh, hey.
Can the match continue?
That follows the rules for me, man.
Wow.
The Fink, I get it. Like, Teddy Long, getting the right call. You don't have to like it, but that's definitely the right call. Not a household item. I get it.
Wow.
Oh, Teddy Long. A DQ right there. Now Teddy Long. Uh-oh, but look out from behind. Oh. China with a huge guitar shot. One, two, and
three. Wow, this place is going nuts.
Yeah.
Okay, so she was using the pedigree and she was coming out with the Triple H's music at the time.
Yep.
First ever woman IC. So they make a big deal about her being the first IC champ that's a woman ever.
Yes.
But they have her do it in a thong in an good housekeeping match. Got it.
Right. Hey, dub's a dub. You know, that's what we say when we're playing video.
This is going nuts, man.
And they really are. It's an extremely hot crowd. Yeah.
Well, let's get into the aftermath. And I'm gonna rapid fire some thoughts here real quick. So it's time now for the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
All right, so initial things, Jeff, I got a couple things for you. First of all, the idea of her wrestling with the men, I don't hate it because she was better in the ring than I remembered, and I'm guessing she normally was. So that checks out. Would I have her in a thong? No, just something that's not a thong. I mean, it doesn't have to, you know, just anything right. That's not a thong. All right, so I hated the outfit. why is she coming out to Triple H's music? Give her own music at this time, not later on when they did. So again, if you're gonna push her in like the men's division, then give her own music. Don't dress her like a stripper. Actually present her like an actual superstar, and I could completely buy it and be cool with it. Like, would I buy Ronda Rousey wrestling with the men, or hell, even a Shayna Baszler? Yeah, I actually think I would. So I'm okay with it if it's the right woman that physically looks like she, you know, belongs in that setting.
Tom, getting some interference, it sounds like, over there from Tom. I missed the tail end of what you said there, buddy.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
Oh, and so Tom, I'm not sure what's happening over on his end, but of course, this is why we don't plan. We don't kind of know what's happening, but that's okay. I'm sure Tom will get to his thoughts and kind of what's happening. But a big piece of this of kind of like, you know, what happened though in the aftermath and, you know, the kind of Gund Arena and everything that was happening. There we go. I think I hear you now, buddy.
How about that? Can you hear me?
There we go. I don't know what happened.
What the hell happened? I wasn't muted. I don't know. So, all right. I'm good now.
You're good, yes.
Okay. So, oh, no, all I was saying is hated the outfit, hated her not having her own music, and hated the fact that, again, if you're going to make her into the first female IC champ, which I'm okay with, then make her do that in a great match, not in a good housekeeping match.
Yeah, and I think – and I'll get into it with my score. I agree with a lot of what you have to say. So, but quick thoughts, yeah, I thought overall it was interesting watching it is the best way that I'll say right now. So, but what happened, kind of how did this play out that you really after this – and we'll talk about Jarrett. But, you know, China almost immediately jumped into a feud with Chris Jericho. He actually lost to China at Survivor Series. It was actually – this was the pedigree. It was from the top rope that kind of cost him this one. This was – now, Jericho then kind of taking over this kind of abusive toward women role. If you remember, this was actually the segment – it was actually really bad where he had her tied to a chair – and was hitting her hand with a hammer. And so that segment did not go over well because of how it was portrayed and things like that. And so just rough on that one. But it was actually December of 99 when Jericho beat China and to kind of bring her intercontinental title run to an end. It was actually not long after. So 1999, you know, started with the Royal Rumble and then ended, you know, going to December, but really ended with the Intercontinental Championship in a lot of ways. And so really just a huge year for her. So not long after this, though, is when she became the on-screen girlfriend of Eddie Guerrero. If you can remember this one, this was I still vividly remember
Heat.
Oh, mamacita, yeah. And so always a big one. And this was actually the two of them, Eddie and China, taking on Val Venus. And at the time, who was a rookie, Trish Stratus, it was SummerSlam 2000. And that was the Intercontinental Championship was on the line. This was weird, even though it was an intergender tag match. You know, China, because she – it was some weird stipulations on this one. So you had Val Venus, who at the time was the Intercontinental Champion, whoever pinned him like would win the title. And because China pinned him, she won the title. So she actually got the belt back at this point. She actually lost it just a couple weeks later to Eddie Guerrero.
Again, too many flip-flops, man.
Yeah, real quick, hot-shotting the belt at this point. So how the weird one with this one and Jeff Jarrett and kind of how this played out was, again, this was the swerve, if you will, was interesting, which we talked about in the write-ups of, like, his contract was over. And so, you know, in – like he left this, you know, this month, October 1999, and it was actually right after Vince Russo left the WWF and joined the WCW. And so while his contract expired, you know, he was still going to kind of do the work and kind of do this match. Now, I was doing some research, kind of finding online that the rumor that China always felt was that Jarrett and Russo colluded together and delayed Jarrett losing the title so that Vince would have to pay in order to, like, a one shot to keep Jarrett around. The number I saw getting kicked around, it was $200,000 so that he could wrestle at No Mercy without a contract.
Yep.
And so you know, that, you know, kind of getting kicked around and what happened. And so who knows, you know, it, that would make sense, but you know, it, to the, you know, the history of wrestling, you know, we'll learn one day, but she, that was, you know, she has come out there, you know, had come out and said that that's what she felt, how it played out and kind of what happened. Now, really two nights later, you've got Jarrett back on WCW proclaiming himself to be the chosen one with going up against Buff Bagwell or attacking Buff Bagwell. It jumped right into kind of a tournament for the World Heavyweight Championship. You know, just some of these weird pay-per-views, like at Mayhem was eliminated by Chris Benoit. Then you had Starrcade. He actually beat Dustin Rhodes. It was a bunkhouse brawl, you know, taking on Benoit in a ladder match. Just kind of, you know, interesting. And then really kind of how this played out. And I had, I'm not going to lie, like I forgot about this probably because I had blocked it out from my memory. It was actually after that Starrcade, which, you know, took place, that one, it was the 1999 Starrcade, which was, you know, December, that the next night on Nitro, while he beat, it was a rematch where he beat Benoit. This was Jarrett reforming the NWO as NWO 2000, which you had Bret Hart, Kevin Nash, and Scott Hall, who were the tag champs, and Jarrett, and having the black and silver kind of color. So I'm not going to lie, I totally forgot about the NWO 2000, which is
– I don't – if I either forgot or never knew about it or whatever.
Yeah, and so not a terrible thing at this point to have forgotten about that, but that was one of those, you know, throwing whatever they could at the wall to kind of see what stuck type thing. So, you know, and that was – Scott Steiner was a part of it at one point too. Like just – it was weird. There's kind of no other way to put it, but you know, kind of having that. So that was how that kind of storyline played out, and you know, China winning at this point and having the belt. So, Tom, any thoughts on the aftermath before we get into the write-ups, which I know you'll love?
No thoughts. Hit me with the write-ups, and then how about you give your payoff score first?
I'll give my score first. Sounds good. So Jarrett this year, 1999, was number 36 on the PWO, with China coming in at 235. And so I don't know if that was based on because, like, you know, just how they did the rankings at that point. I know kind of having breakout kind of men's and women's and things like that, but, you know, still respectable. So the PW torch on this one. This was – China versus Jarrett was as good as I expected it would be, and it was good. China is a hell of a wrestler, period. Forget the, quote, for a woman, end quote, part of that phrase. She is respectful toward the awkwardness of men having to sell for her by usually starting all of her comebacks with low blows, which any macho-conscious man will gladly sell, and does a good job selling for her male opponents. Let's see if Jericho can be another good fit. The swerve finish of Jarrett winning was clever because everyone thought that they knew Jarrett had to lose. So as soon as it appeared he had won, you couldn't help but think, is he really leaving? Before quickly realizing the finish wasn't going to stand. 2.5 stars. And then the observer on this one, China winning. They had advertised Deborah as being in China's corner, and Deborah never appeared on the show. It was mainly weapon shots, but the build of the match was good, the timing was good, and it had crowd heat. Jarrett did a hell of a job in his final appearance. Mainly China used weapons such as garbage can and a toilet seat. She stuffed a banana in his mouth. China used a low blow and salad tongs to the groin. I love writing that sentence and reading that sentence. After yet another garbage can shot, China threw two pies in Jarrett's face. Jarrett catapulted her into Teddy Long. Tom called it. I'm wrong. There you go. Then hit her with the belt and got the pin. Jarrett appeared to be the winner, which must have shocked a lot of people. Long then ordered the match restarted since a championship belt is not a household appliance. After the match restarted, Jarrett put the figure four leg lock on Long, allowing China to crack him with a guitar shot for the pin. Like a guitar is a household appliance. So there you go. 3.25 stars. So you got 3.25, you got 2.5. Like I'll give it like a 5, I think, like maybe 5.5. I think because it was it wasn't as kind of historic, I think, as like looking back on it. Like they talk about her winning is like the first time, but I think that they just, whether it's because it's her or something like that, it's just not played up as much as it could be. I will say though, the build was really good though. Like they had a lot of stuff happening that kind of, you know, they had a match, like this was kind of, you know, the second, you know, rematch. It made sense in a lot of ways, like whether you agree with the good housekeeping stipulation or not, it made sense under kind of what was, you know, happening and what was going on. And so to me that just, you know, if it makes sense, that works, you know, that's why, you know, I don't have to, well, I can suspend the disbelief so much, like that's one where I can draw a line pretty easy to why we're in this match and it makes sense. So kind of going that route, I'm okay with that. So like I said, I think a 5.25, like I've never given a quarter, but you know, it's just one of those where you know, it was the match itself, no, wasn't great. And like you said, there were some things that just kind of stand out as like wouldn't hold up nowadays, but overall, like it worked for me. What do you think?
I, you know, Jeff, I have this at a 5, but if it was presented differently, it could have been a 9. Okay. I just would have played it as a straight wrestling match. I would have just said, look, we have an opportunity for the first ever female Intercontinental Champion, and we're just going to have a great match. And I would have had her own music. I would have had her dressed better. I would have made it historic. The place went nuts. They wanted to see her win. I just think this could have been a big time, historic, awesome wrestling moment. And they blew it with, you know, a stupid stipulation that just smacks you in the face that, oh, she's just a woman.
And I want to go back. The crowd was hot. Like let's call it.
Oh yeah. They, yeah. Yeah.
Like while they touched on it a little bit in those reviews, like they were on their feet, they wanted her to win. And so I, you know, credit where credit's due. If that pushes me from a 5.25 to a 5.5, like she was like, she got the pop she deserved. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Final thoughts.
Again, it's good. Go back and watch it. You'll be surprised how good Chyna was in the ring, probably. I know I was. But I just think it was a huge missed opportunity to do something really, really awesome.
Yeah. No, and now that you're saying that, and now that we've kind of seen it, yeah, that one's going to
be. You knew the fans wanted it. So you knew the fans wanted it. You knew that they wanted a big moment, and they went nuts for what they got. But, man, you do a great wrestling match and just say, hey, let's have a classic. And I think it would have been really something special. And if you had to do a screw job finish because it was a woman and that's the only way he would have lost or whatever, then you get the guitar involved in a ref bump or whatever. You could have still done it. I mean, Eddie's world title. Like I'm just thinking of Eddie's world title win. Yeah, it was kind of a screw job finish against Brock, but place went nuts. You can do both at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. So good stuff though overall. Yeah,
great stuff. Great stuff.
Fun one to cover. So. Yeah, so of course, as everybody knows, we didn't say at the top because, you know, we don't have to anymore because you guys know we're at Payoff Pod and all that social media and all that good stuff. You know where to find us, and we enjoy doing this. And so definitely reach out to us, talk to us. You know, we're going to respond and let you know what we're thinking. So, Tom, with that, let's send them home happy.
All right. Thank you, as always, for joining us on another episode of The Payoff.